as we are winding down season one of the podcast, Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie. I want to thank you for joining us. I would also ask if you could go in and write a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Let me know what you think, how you've started to change your thinking, and be sure to invite a friend. Our next season will begin at the start of January on the first Tuesday. Once again, thanks for joining me, and go write a review. Let me know what you're thinking. I'm here with Jamie. We're going to talk about ecotherapy. Jamie is a certified behavior health and ecotherapy coach. She specializes in autoimmune diseases and gut health, as she has a story from herself and how she helped herself conquer her battles so she could start living the dreams that she probably never dared to dream back in the day, right?
Exactly.
Jamie, jump in here. Let's tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey, how you got from point A to point Z, probably.
Sure. So we're going to talk about utilizing the power of nature from the natural world around us. But I do have a question before I go into me. For anybody that's joining, we'd love to hear where you are joining from. Drop it below, make a comment, whatever, because I find it so fascinating. I've traveled the world. My mom's from New Zealand. My dad's Italian. So I love hearing where people are from joining us. So this is my little family. I have four kids, two boys, two girls. We actually were all like bald. My sister was going through cancer, and so we all shaved our heads to be a support to her. And so all of us have really short hair in this photo. It was growing back. But and then my little sister lives with us. So that's our family. My husband and I have been married for 15 years, and I had four kids in 5 years. So that was part of my health journey. My body not really loving that experience per se. But I'm so grateful we did, because I was diagnosed with autoimmune conditions later on and no longer could have kids. And so had I not done that, then I wouldn't have been able to have the four beautiful kids that I have today. So my story...
I have two kids and I'm thinking, okay, that's good, you know? Four kids in 5 years, you're crazy.
Well, it makes me laugh because my mom had five kids in 5 years, because my twin sisters are 16 months younger than me. And she's like, what are you thinking? Like, how are you going to do this? And I'm like, Mom, you had one more. She goes, oh yeah, I made it through. So I guess you'll be fine.
Twins.
So that's
me laugh. Twins is another story. Twins, triplets.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Props to you mamas who are doing it.
Yes, exactly. Don't give up. It's worth it in the end though. The littles can get a little crazy, but I'll tell you, as they get older, it's really fun. It's nice. I mean, there's challenges of their own, but you know, my oldest is 14. My youngest is 9. And it's really nice that they play and for the most part get along really well. So it's good.
Well, it's nice too that you like, you get the baby stuff just done and over. Like, it's quick.
Exactly.
You're going to move on.
Exactly. Oh, I love it. So did you want me to share my story really quickly?
Yeah, do. Okay. Because the way you look in this picture is a lot different than the way you look now. Go right ahead.
Right? So back in 2016, actually, I was suffering from all of the above. I really, really struggled across the board. My husband had to pitch in to do a lot. He's actually the main cook in our house now because he did it so much back then. And one example of just kind of the result of my body not functioning is we went to our family cabin one weekend and my husband came in around noon to wake me up and asked if I wanted to get up and eat something. Got up, had like a breakfast brunch. A few hours later, was exhausted, went back to bed. My sister came to get me up around 6 or 7 to have dinner. I got up, stayed up till about 10, went back to bed, and they had to wake me up the next day. So back in 2016, ever since probably 2008, I started seeing my body declining. Things were popping up. I was suffering from depression pretty bad. I had all of these different things that were happening. In 2016 is when it like hit hardcore. I was on heavy, like serious medications to try and help. But one, the medication would like cause another symptom to come up. And it definitely helped in some regards, but I started gaining weight. I was exhausted, all of these things. And so I started by just changing out toxic chemicals in my home, things in my makeup, my cleaner, stuff like that. Noticed that my son with asthma was not having asthma attacks. My daughter with eczema started having better skin, and pleurisy, which is inflammation in the lining of your chest, I had it pretty commonly, pretty frequently, was going away just from getting cleaners out of my home. And so I was like, whoa, there's like something to be said about utilizing nature. So my best friend, who was also a part of this journey, her name's Heidi Hills, she would come over, she would help me get my kids. There was a lot of things that she helped me with just because I had issues. We'd be at the school helping and I'd like collapse, or I couldn't get out of my chair, and she'd be like, she would just know she needed to help, like without even thinking. She was amazing. She was a lifesaver.
So, what I would call this is your body's literally betraying you.
Yeah.
You're like a stranger.
It was trying to survive, right?
Right.
Yeah.
A hot mess mama.
I was actually betraying my body, to be honest.
Hey, that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah, because reality came when I realized that what I was doing to live my life was not helping my body at all. So my body was trying to function. It was doing everything it could to function. And when your body is in so much chaos, it starts shutting down to protect your heart and your brain and your main organs. And in so doing, you shut down as a person, because your body's just trying to keep those main organs alive. And so, yeah, it really, I did. I betrayed my body big time, but I didn't know I was doing that.
Right. So that was the point I wanted to point out. Like, you only know what you know. You don't know what you don't know until you know it.
Exactly.
And when I, like, growing up, I was Western medicine. I went and got an antibiotic, you know, for a sign of a cold. I was 18 years old on 9 different medications. And it's just like, wait a second, is this really how I should live the rest of my life?
Right.
When an alternative was presented, it was like, no way, no way. Milk is not going to be my trigger. I mean, I come from dairy farmers. That's like hypocritical, or I don't know, not possible. Now I don't, right. Now I'm dairy free, and it's like night and day difference in how I feel.
Yeah.
So
totally.
I didn't know back then. Right.
Well, and that's the thing. You only know what you know, right? And the thing about medication that I found from my own personal story is that it was just masking things that internally my body was still trying to fight. So it was that Band-Aid that was not helping in the sense of like long-term longevity. So I was told by doctors, you will be on this for the rest of your life. There's no way you can get off of this. Well, I don't take any medications now at all. And I haven't for about 4 years.
And you feel the best you've ever felt.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Now, granted, there are times where those symptoms start coming back because I'm like, ooh, Jamie, what did you just do? Like, I know what I'm doing, right? But I went back to, I went to school to be a certified behavioral health coach. I wanted to know more about not just the nutrition side, but the full complex of it all. So the mind-body connection across the board. I mean, our brain and our gut are connected in ways that most people don't understand. That's why you have butterflies in your stomach when you're going to do something that's nerve-wracking. It's your brain and your stomach that are connecting this line, right? And so I went back to school, and during this process, I did advanced nutrition. I did it in several areas, but gut health and autoimmune conditions were my favorite because I had both. And then in 2017, you can see I lost weight. I was happy. You can see in my eyes, like I wasn't as tired. This was in California. We were hiking up the hills. I couldn't have done that before. All across the board, like my symptoms were gone. And so I was like, wow, like this is amazing. I love it. I did my training for myself. And then when I saw what it was doing, I wanted to share it with the world. And then I went back to school and got certified level 1 and 2 in ecotherapy, which is bringing in the natural world. Just finished my Master Gardener certificate. I absolutely love nature in all of its forms. And it's incredible what the natural world in connection with us, like too often we separate those two. We as humans are part of the natural world. Trees need us. We need trees. Like grounding, we'll talk about that in a minute, and how the energies from the earth can actually help with some of the adjustments within us. And so it's crazy how all of that fits in. But in 2016, within a year, all of those symptoms were gone. I was off my medications and I haven't been back on since. And I feel awesome. I feel wonderful.
And your husband's like, I have my wife back.
I know, right? My kids, they're even like, when somebody goes to give me something, they're like, my mom can't have that. That makes her really sick. And like, because they notice the difference. They're like, and honestly, the big trigger for me was one day I heard my daughters talking and one of them said, I wish mom was like, and then named one of our good friends because she'd play with us again. And I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm just living day to day, but I was alive, but I wasn't living. And I was like, I don't just want to be alive for 90 years. Like, I want to live, not at 90, 100. I want to live till I'm 100. As long as I'm living, not just alive.
Exactly.
Because at 36 years old, I was a zombie, just being alive.
And I guarantee you people are listening to this are thinking the exact same thing, no matter what age they are.
True.
Chronic fatigue is like the number one issue we see, that I see as a functional medicine doctor. Like, I see lupus here on your list. No focus or concentration. Brain fog is a real thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and during that time too, I was diagnosed with lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and I was diagnosed celiacs. Like, those are three huge. And they thought I had fibromyalgia is a whole other animal. But Hashimoto's. We won't even go into that one.
Yeah.
But Hashimoto's.
Know my feelings about fibromyalgia.
Yeah. It's the go-to one, right?
It's the top out.
Yeah. Hashimoto's was another one. And when I was able to balance out my hormone levels and allow for my like thyroid and stuff, like that never tested positive because I was in the process of healing myself before that one could. But lupus, rheumatoid arthritis, and celiacs. And as of right now, all of those are in remission. So I'm really blessed. I'm really lucky. I love it.
RA, ladies and gentlemen, like, I just started working with a 26-year-old who got diagnosed last year. So he got diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at 25. And the doctor literally told him, you need to take Humira for the rest of your life. And he's like, I don't want to inject something into myself every week for the next 70 years. But two, there's got to be a better way. And there is a better way, which is why I'm on the podcast, which is why Jamie's here, which is why we do what we do. Because we want you guys to know that there are better ways. Yes, we need Western medicine. If you break your arm, you better not show up in my office.
Right.
But if you have chronic unresolved things that nobody can explain, if you keep getting told that your normal labs, I mean, your labs are normal, and you're yet, why do I look like this? Why can I not lose weight? Why can I not get myself out of bed? Why can I do all these other things that my best friend can? That's why we're here. So this is you. Stick around.
And for those that are listening and not visually seeing, some of the things that I suffered from, like Dr. Kylie said, like ankle pain, anxiety, arthritis in my knee, couldn't walk. You guys, I am left-handed and I couldn't even feel my left thumb anymore. I had lost all feeling. I would try to snap my fingers and I would have shooting pain just go up my arm. Like, I felt helpless. My memory was going. I couldn't even remember things. Every time I turned to the left, I would have a sharp pain behind my eye and I would black out. I didn't drive very much because I was worried that I would start getting like blackouts while I was driving. My nose, I had sores all inside my nose, on my neck. I had spine pain just from like every day. I mean, it was awful. My legs hurt all the time. Like, it was awful. It was awful. I never wish anybody to be where I was. Well, then I needed to take medication. And I was lucky enough that because I grew up in a home, my mom was much more of a natural, like we made our own supplements, like echinacea tablets. And like, we actually pressed them and did it all when we were little. My mom just grew up in a much more natural setting and taught that to us. But then of course, as I became an adult, I was like, whatever, that's hogwash, blah, blah, blah. And now she's like, I told you, if you would have listened to your mother. But yeah, like doctors, I was told by several that I would be on medication for the rest of my life and there was nothing I could do about it. And honestly, I was not diagnosed with lupus for 10 years. And in the meantime, they're like, well, you could have lupus, but you're not showing that you do. So everything looks normal. Just like you said, everything looks normal. And I'm like, I'm not normal. This is not normal. I felt crazy. I felt absolutely crazy.
Right. I've heard moms say like, if I'm normal, then what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
When they keep getting...
If this is normal, I'm really scared for not normal.
Yeah. It's common, but it's not normal.
Exactly. Okay, so I actually want everybody to get a piece of paper, and I want you to write down your scores for the following things. We're going to do a little activity because activities are just super fun, and they're great. And I think when you can experience something as simple as what we're about to do, it just shows the power of nature on our brain and on our overall demeanor in a way that we don't always realize. So I want you to write down where you fall on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being low and 5 being high for the following. Number 1, amazement. Do you have low amazement levels right now? High, like the world around you, does it amaze you? How do you feel in that regard? 1, low, 5, high. wonder, curiosity. Do you have low curiosity, high curiosity, like a 5? Happiness, where does your happiness lie? Do you have low happiness levels, a 1? High at a 5? In between at a 3 or 4? What about your energy levels? Are they low? Are they high? Are they in between? Are they kind of medium low? And then stress levels. Where do your stress levels fall right now? And what we're going to do is we're going to watch a little video about nature. And for those that are on the podcast, we'll get you the link so you can pull it up and watch it. I want you to watch this, and then we're going to do something with that. And as we go through all of this, we are going to be talking about the 5 senses around nature and around ourselves. And I know that sounds funny sometimes, like, okay, the 5 senses, why would that even be key to all of this? But there's some real, real studies and scientific documentation that when we utilize the 5 senses in all that we do, we actually increase a lot of different things. So for right now, we're going to start with sight and hearing as we watch this little clip of nature. And let's hope that this works the way it's supposed to. Is I want you to rate yourself right now, having just watched that video, again, on a scale from 1 to 5, how do you feel for amazement? 1 being low, 5 being high, wonder, awe, curiosity, happiness, energy levels, low, high, 1 low, 5 high, and your stress levels. Just watching that 2-minute clip. The incredible thing about nature, and we're actually going to watch one more clip at the end that actually shows the science, the psychology behind this. That simple thing is shown to decrease, to increase all of those and to decrease stress on tremendous levels. The cool thing about it all when it comes to nature, like when we look at nature, is that nature can do things for us that we can't always do for ourselves. So nature is actually shown to reduce blood pressure, lower heart rate, decrease the stress hormone. It's also shown to decrease muscle tension and help prevent against cancer. Cancer cells, stress is huge. With cancer, autoimmune conditions, heart conditions, any of these things, stress. When I was diagnosed with lupus, my doctor said, "I just need you to understand, Jamie, that the leading cause of severe issues with lupus and death is stress. You have to figure out how to de-stress your life." With 4 kids, and I take care of my little sister right now, and everything that goes on around us in this world, stress is a really hard one to beat sometimes. Well, the simple activities of watching nature on TV, getting out into nature, and then grounding or earthing, it depends, that I've heard both, is the act of connecting with the earth. So right here, we can see a picture of water and plants, putting your feet in a flowing river or stream, putting your feet on the ground, grass, the dirt, putting your hands on a living tree, touching the dirt, that's all grounding. And it actually, the earth has energies that flow through it. And when we ground, when we allow our naked skin to touch and connect with the earth, it allows for that rotation of energy to decrease all of those things that we've talked about and increase a healthier life across the board, which is amazing because I didn't know this before I actually went into the ecotherapy field. And truth be told, when I was younger, I climbed trees all the time. Sometimes I did it because I knew my mom wouldn't come after me and I didn't want to get in trouble. But for the most part, I climbed trees because I absolutely loved connecting with the tree. I felt like I was outside of the world. I have done this since I was little. How many kids go and start playing in the dirt and they just want to explore earth? There's a reason for that. They're connecting to it. It really does increase our health in so many ways.
Yeah, it makes me want to go to the mountains.
Yep. The mountains. I love the mountains. Though, actually, I love the mountains more than the ocean. That's a whole other topic, too. I have sensory issues. I don't like sand on my feet. I'm kind of funny like that.
One time, I went to Miami, Florida for with my mom 1 year. And we had this genius idea that we were going to run along the beach barefooted. Because people do that, you know?
Right.
Well, we ran probably 3 miles, which is about my average back then. Now I don't really run. But I literally could not walk the rest of the trip. Like, I couldn't walk for weeks because my tendons and my ligaments got so strained having to do the balance with the running in the sand that I'll probably never do that again. But I did that on my feet.
Well, and honestly, when you're running in sand, there's the resistance too. It's even harder because you're resisting, like you're sinking. So
yeah, it just gave me, I'm a big volleyball player, but I play indoors. It gave me a huge, more understanding about what beach volleyball players go through.
Totally.
A lot of strain on your feet, not only like the rest of your body, because you can't, like jumping off of sand and jumping off of a court is two different things.
Totally.
That's so true. That's my touchy feet story.
I love it. Well, and honestly, just going along with that, just standing in the sand though, okay, I don't like the feel of sand on my feet. I don't like wet sand on my feet. It irritates it. But the water, the sand, the mud, the dirt, building sandcastles, like you guys, seriously, all of these things is that human grounding, earthing connection with the earth. It's incredibly powerful. So if you run for 3 miles and you haven't done it before, it will affect you differently.
I know a lot of
train.
My high school, my brothers run track. They're all big tracksters. And their high school team, after they would get done with the run, they would all take off their shoes and run around the football field, just like the grass. And they would just get feeling on their feet. And that would be their cool down. And I thought that was pretty cool.
I love that. That's powerful. I haven't ever seen that before with football players. That's great. Well, and I actually have a son who has ADHD, and in my coursework that I did and my trainings with ecotherapy, we did an entire course on ADHD, and actually kids and adults with ADHD, there are studies that show that they need an even deeper connection with the earth. It's just the way that we're built. I have ADHD as well. When he gets overly stimulated or when he gets angry or whatever, he'll say, "Mom, I just need to go climb a tree." And he does. He goes outside and he climbs a tree and he comes in and he's calmer. I've also taught him breathing techniques and some other things that you can do. But my daughter, when she gets stressed out, she's like, "Mom, can I just go lay out on the grass?" And I'm like, "Sure." And she just sits there and breathes. Breathing is another one that's huge. But really, there is huge components to earthing and grounding yourself to the earth in so many areas of our lives.
Jamie, give us a couple other ideas that parents could do with their kids, especially right now in a chaotic world.
So earthing and grounding is huge. Be a kid with your kid. I know that sounds kind of funny, but like get down in the dirt with your kids, even if it irritates your hands, like play in the dirt with your kids. Not only will it help you, it will help them and it will bind you together. You can get sand tables. Those are great. That's not actual earth. Like if you bring leaves inside that are dead, that's not necessarily the same because you want the living energies that are flowing through. So going outside and raking up leaves and running barefoot and jumping in them, you're still hitting the ground. But really doing things like that, and actually in just a minute, we'll talk about a few more things that you can do with your kids as far as helping them with that. With relaxation and helping with stress, if your kids are feeling overwhelmed with online school or going to public schools and the stress that's going on, I do what's called the 5-5-7 breathing. And I do that with my kids. You breathe in for 5 seconds. You hold it for 5 seconds. You breathe out for 7 seconds. your parasympathetic nervous system, which is your rest and digest, and your sympathetic nervous system, which is fight or flight, cannot be activated at the same time. So what that means is if you are in a constant state of stress, if kids are in a constant state of stress, you actually cannot rest and digest. So when we talk about people that like have bellies and they can't get rid of it no matter what they do, a lot of times it's they literally are not digesting their food properly because you're not in a state of rest and digest where your body can do it because you're always in a state of panic. And kids sense that panic in us as adults like heavily. And so when I feel myself getting into that stage, my kids even do it. They'll be like, hey, let's breathe. Or I've gone into my kids' bedrooms and they're coaching each other through breathing. It's adorable. But just breathing before a meal, breathing before you go to an activity, breathing before anything. And you don't want to breathe and like hold it in so much. And then you're like over-focused on it. You breathe into 75, 80% capacity and you release it. The key is that you breathe out more than you're breathing in and holding it as far as a time frame goes. But that is a great, great activity to teach your kids for when it comes to stress and anxiety. Just let them go outside, put the phones away. I cannot tell you, like my kids don't have phones of their own. And I've had parents even comment like your kids like love being outside and they seem so happy. And a lot of that is because the natural world is, that was my playground growing up. And we've kind of shifted away from that. Getting vitamin D through the sun, which I know, Kylie, you've talked about, is huge. Like making sure you have enough and then adding to that and making sure that you don't have a depletion is huge. And there's simple things, which we'll talk about in a minute, that you can go there. But those are just a few ideas for the chaos in the world. Hopefully that's helpful.
I think just sitting down and breathing before you eat, like if you think about this, how fast are you, like people who are listening and watching, tuning in, last time you ate, how fast did you eat? How many times did you chew? Like, it's just another activity that we have to go and just get it done because we have to do it. Our bodies need the food, but taking the time to actually enjoy it and switching our systems from a sympathetic to a parasympathetic, so we can rest and digest that food, that would probably be very beneficial for many.
Yeah. And honestly, the average person chews 3 times before they swallow and you want 20 to 30 chews. What people don't understand when it comes to your gut is your digestion process starts from the sight and smell of your food. Your saliva starts going. Your teeth are there to help you digest your food. If you are swallowing it, your digestive tract has to do more work when you have an upper area that is meant. That's why we talk about the 5 senses. And we'll actually get into that when we talk about food in, as a whole in just a second. But it is so important that we slow down and realize, and you can do it with your kids. Have a competition. I do that with my kids. I'm like, hey, let's see who can chew the longest. They're like, my food is like turning to mush and going down. I'm like, good, that's what it's supposed to do. But we have fun with the process. Like you said, it is so rushed in our society that we need to go back to what it used to be. Like eating was a time where you actually enjoyed the process. It was communicating. It was relaxation. It was family time. It was community time. And now it's grab and go. And we're doing ourselves a big disservice by doing that.
In lots of ways.
Totally. So when we talk about touch and feel, these are some of the activities like you were asking about. When we feel, like touching something and feeling something doesn't have to physically be touching. You can feel the sun on your face. That is feeling. That is still a sense that you're feeling. So walking up to a window in the wintertime, I mean, this is a way to increase your vitamin D levels. And honestly, guys, like the winter blues are coming for a lot of us. And there are some things that we can do to really allow ourselves to utilize the natural world from the inside of our home. Closing your eyes, standing up to a window, and just feeling the warmth of the sun on your face is huge. Do it for like 10 minutes. It makes a world of a difference. Let your kids do it. If they're stressed or whatever, just be like, okay, I'm going to put some sounds of nature on in the background, some rushing water, some birds. I want you to visualize yourself in a location that you love. Feel the sun on your face, and then let's talk about it after. Again, that's just a way that you can create the creative juices in your kids' brains, imagination, but also utilize the power of nature in your home, from your windows, from wherever you are, to do that. Then feel the wind blowing on your skin. Like we talk about dancing in the rain. That was a big one that I absolutely love. But as we grow up, we stop with the fun things. go outside when it's raining and just feel the rain, like dance in the rain, let your kids like play in the puddles. Like, again, you're connecting, but you're also playing. One of our team members with Kahatahi is finishing up her master's degree in positive psychology and play. And she said, play is one of the biggest things that can help increase your happiness and joy. And it's something that as adults we've lost. We kind of have pushed that aside. Going back to what we loved as a child and doing that is really, really valuable. And honestly, simply just noticing. Look out your window. And do you remember, Kylie, when we used to like look at the clouds and find animal shapes? Did you do that?
Yeah, you'd lay on the tramp in your backyard.
Totally. Or on the grass or wherever. And you just look for animals in the clouds. Like there, that is connecting ourselves. It's noticing. It's noticing the world around us, seeing the changing colors of the leaves and just looking at them or smelling. Up by our house when the winds blows, we can get the Great Salt Lake winds and it stinks to high heaven, but you can notice. You're like, woo, there's the salty Great Salt Lake blowing in. Like, just be curious and notice the five senses of nature.
It looks like 5 minutes from Antelope Island.
Uh-huh.
One right next to it with the stink. But what's one of my favorite places to go now is just to get a break. And even while I was there last week, I was literally thinking, how can I create it to where I can have Zoom calls with patients on the phone rather than be on the computer so I can go outside and hike while I'm working at the same time?
Love it.
It was like getting outdoors and getting into the hike, like hiking and doing all that stuff. Even though I had a 3-year-old next to me, a baby in my pack, I needed that stress relief and basically reset my body. So I totally get what you're going on here, especially when it comes to the stress levels.
And honestly, going along those lines, like right now, even with all the crazy social distancing, wearing masks, all of this, you can go up into the mountains. Like I go on hikes with my kids. I'll go with friends and we stay, you know, distant from each other. And obviously we all have our different choices around that. And that's totally respectable and okay. But you can still utilize nature. Like nature is one of the best forms of healing and health that we can use right now in the chaos of all of this. Like, and especially like in Utah and in the Salt Lake area where I live, like there within 30 minutes, you have so many things around you that you can utilize and see and be a part of just to be, right? To just be. Forget the world for a minute and just be, like you said, just to rejuvenate yourself.
I know this past summer, RVs and camping trailers were flying off the shelves.
Yeah, they were. And campsites, man, we couldn't even find campsites this summer. We had to use our creativity on that one. But yeah, totally.
That was like one of the benefits of this, getting us back to, family is the most important, getting us back to, well, we can't go to Disneyland now, so let's go climb the mountains or let's go to the beach or like wherever it is for you. It was all outdoors in nature because that's what you could do.
Exactly. And like you said, even taking calls, like with my clients, I mean, because I do ecotherapy on top of like nutrition, as well as like the behavioral health coaching, but I'll tell people like, go sit outside while we have our call. The wind's blowing, who cares? Like, I want you to experience nature as we're doing it. When we do live things, like I'll take people on hikes and we will actually do sessions in nature where you get that double oomph of a connection. So thinking outside the box, I guess. And I'm actually starting a podcast called Choosing Your Windows. Like, what windows are we looking through? Like, are we thinking outside of the box? Are we actually utilizing the views? Are we nearsighted? Are we looking outside? It's really important that we realize that circumstances might not be in our control, but choices are ours. So regardless of the circumstances, we have choices. We can choose to be sad. We can choose to be happy. We make the choices. Now, honoring where we're at, recognizing that and saying, right now I feel sad and I'm going to honor that. That's healthy. You don't want to disregard emotion and feeling, because really emotion and feeling are not good or bad. They just are. You can be happy for the wrong reason and be happy for a good reason. However, when you honor that and then you say, now, is this circumstance something I can control? Yes. Okay, how am I going to change that? Or no. Then don't put your energy towards it anymore, because we only have so much energy that we can dedicate. So let's put our energy towards something we can control, and let's find a way that we can achieve these positive intentions for ourselves.
Thanks. Choosing Your Windows. That's a genius name.
Thanks. Yeah, it's fun. It's going to be awesome. So I'm excited. So with that, now let's go to taste. So taste is the last one. There's something about food that a lot of people do not connect with per se. And I was one of them. So when we look at what's like on my screen, or for those that are listening, there's bananas and blueberries and asparagus. And this is my garden. We grow Brussels sprouts. We pretty much grow everything because I love gardening. And strawberries and watermelon and zucchini. We typically deem this as healthy, right? We say, yeah, this is a healthy meal. Well, my daughter was born allergic to strawberries. So that might be healthy for most people, but that actually was not healthy for her. And she would break out.
That would suck.
I know, right? Actually, strawberries is one that they told me, as long as she's not breathing, she's not having breathing problems, you need to keep giving it to her. And she did outgrow it. But there are things like peanuts or fish or dairy or other things that you can't just get over the same, right? And so one of the things when it comes to taste is, and sustainability, when it comes to the nutrition side, is what gives you energy and what takes away your energy. All of the plants and animals that we consume are part of the natural world. Again, we're connecting to this natural world. And when you look at food, we use our five senses. What does it look like? How does it smell? Touch it. What do you hear when you're chewing it? Taste it. When you utilize all of your senses, you will naturally slow down. You will naturally enjoy your meal, and you will use food for what it is intended for. So going back to this picture, I want you to think about the process to get these foods. Like when it comes to blueberries, how do we make blueberries? Like how do they grow? Well, you have to plant them. You have to water them. You have to care for them. There has to be good soil conditions. But do we ever think about that process, or do we just consume and move on? When we think about the process, I mean, think of the animals that we consume. Food is a tool. You know, if you take a hammer and you go into the bathroom and you take a shower and you use that hammer like a loofah, you're going to regret it. It is not going to feel good. You are not going to be a happy camper. You will have marks all over your body because a hammer is not meant to be a loofah in the shower. It's not meant to be a washcloth. It's meant to hammer things into a wall. It is meant to pull nails out of a wall. That is its intent. But we use food for the wrong intentions. Food isn't the problem. It's the intent behind why we're using food. To think about if we're having, you know, for those that eat meat, if you're having a hamburger, for example, are you utilizing the life of this animal, or are you wasting it? Are you filling yourself to the point that you're so full that you feel sick? Well, that animal just gave up its life for what intent? For you to have to feel sick and not be healthy and happy? So when we think about the whole process and the five senses around our food, it actually shifts things. Gratitude is huge when it comes to food. But again, like you said at the beginning, Kylie, if we don't know, then we don't know. So we have to find out what works for us. And there's different processes you can go through. There's so many fad diets out there. The reality is every one of us has a diet for ourselves that would work because we're all different. So you have to determine what gives you energy, what takes it away. Why are you eating? Are you actually hungry, or are you bored, or are you upset? Are you using food as a replacement for stress relief, or are you using it to actually nourish your body? I have people all the time that will say, well, you got to eat everything on your plate or you're wasting it. Okay, but I challenge that, because whether it's in the garbage or in your belly, it's still garbage. Your body doesn't want it. It doesn't need it. So box it up and put it in your fridge, or get smaller portions, or throw it away, because you're damaging your body. And when I found out that gluten was reacting to my body, when I found out that dairy gives me sore throats and foggy brain, when I realized the effects of sugar on my body, I mean, that causes me depression and anxiety. I get rapid heart rate. When I started realizing what foods were creating different things for me, even corn, there are times where corn affects my body, but I had to find out what was doing what. That with nature, with movement, I couldn't even get out of bed. How am I supposed to move if I can't even get out of bed? Well, when I started to get going and I started feeling better through utilizing food as a tool instead of as a coping mechanism, then it was different. And then the other thing was curiosity over judgment. Being curious about why we do what we do is a much healthier approach than judgment. If we're just going to judge ourselves all the time and get down on ourselves, you are actually causing more damage. Stress can cause huge health damages. And so sitting back and saying, I just had a whole cake. I feel terrible. Why do I feel terrible? Because I had that cake. Okay, well, I did it. So what am I going to do next time to help with this? Or why did I have that cake? Well, I was feeling stressed, overwhelmed. It was somebody's birthday. It was there. Okay, so then address the situation. It goes back to what we talked about medicine. Are we taking it as just a Band-Aid? Or are we actually trying to fix the underlying roots and then utilizing it as a prevention or as a help when we need it in that regard? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I love that one. This is my perspective, and I love your perspective too. When you think you're hungry, try drinking a glass of water first. It's usually thirst.
And our bodies actually do not differentiate fully between thirst and hunger. And when you're dehydrated, like when you feel thirsty, you're already dehydrated. So if you're feeling hungry, that's the first signal that your body's saying, actually drink something because you're almost to the point of dehydration.
Yeah. My husband is a big time hunter and he is all about the moment you get to the end of like the entire process that he loves. And it's because of the whole, I know where my food's coming. I respect where my food's coming. And I mean, we eat meat in this house. I'm not going to say that, but I like how you brought in, you know, where did the blueberries come from? Where did the asparagus come from? And be respectful of the process that it took to get that food on your plate from not only the plant, but somebody had to buy it. Somebody had to grow it. Yeah. So also that perspective. And then just thinking about it, you're automatically going to slow down how you eat.
Exactly.
Be more methodical.
Well, yeah. And you're going to slow down and you're going to show appreciation. So that tool, that hammer that you use in the shower, right? You're not going to use it because you know what that feels like. You know the intent. If you're using food for what it's intended for and you show that gratitude, it's a lot harder to abuse food when you are thinking about the animal that sacrificed its life, the fruits and vegetables that are grown for our stability. When you think about your value, your personal value, like we're not garbage cans. We don't need to dispose of everything. Like that's not the intent of our body. So when you can see that reflection and when you can process through that and when you can honor yourself, I mean, it's a game changer. And like you said, your husband does hunt and he hunts with the intent of like providing for your family and getting these things. And when you honor the animal that has been used and you used every part of it and you know, whatever, like that's so much different than downing something, feeling gross. And you've just wasted that life, that being. You know?
As a mom, it's like, how do you teach your kids to have a good relationship with food? And my oldest is 3. He's a he. He's a girl sitting in my lap and you know what the world is going to tell them.
Yeah.
How do you control what goes on in your home? And to keep it very simple, I just asked my son, I'm like, is your tummy happy? Yeah, mom, it's happy. Okay. If there's food on his plate left, okay, that's fine. Yeah. But I just want to teach him those good tools that you don't have to eat everything on your plate. You just need to eat what your body needs and then be done.
Exactly. And going along with that, like my kids and I, we grow a garden. All of my kids, my son does the corn, my daughter does the tomatoes. Like we grow pretty much everything. My kids have experienced the process of growing food. And so we'll talk about it at the dinner table. Like, how hard is it to grow corn? How hard is it to grow tomatoes? Like, what is the process you go through? So even if you don't have a garden, even just letting your kids experience that, getting a little seed and planting it in a thing and just letting them watch it grow and saying, how long did it take for that seed to come out of the ground? Now imagine a bush, imagine a tree, imagine the concept of growth and stuff. Kids are fascinated by that. And if we can help them understand at a young age that their food is a process and that we use it and showing gratitude. In our home, we say a prayer on the food. We ask that it blesses us, that it gives us nourishment that we need. That is huge. Gratitude is so valuable. And there is lots of psychology study on gratitude. Just the fact it's saying thank you and having grace for your food, that alone will shift your mindset. So food is a tool and it's not the enemy. Just like our body's not the enemy, we just abuse it and we don't use it for what it's intended for. So use your five senses and let your kids do it. Like, seriously, it's so fun to watch your kids like smell it. What does it smell like? My son yesterday, we were having pumpkin. We roasted pumpkin seeds from our pumpkins. He's like, it smells like popcorn. Oh, I never thought about that before, you know, but I mean, it's fun just to see where they come from that. Just to wrap up really quick with the psychology behind the natural world, if you're cool with it, I want to show it's just a few minutes and it's actually going to talk about the value behind this. Is that okay?
I'm interested.
Okay, cool. So we'll listen to this and then at the end, we're going to do the assessment one more time and then we'll wrap up with a few things, just what to do now.
What is happiness? Can we find it in a new pair of shoes, a fast car, or a bigger house? Or does real happiness lie somewhere else? Hundreds of studies have proved that spending time in nature can make us feel better both in mind and body in a way that nothing else can. We wanted to find out whether simply watching footage of the natural world could have the same effect. Last year, we partnered with Professor Dacca Keltner, an expert in human psychology and emotion at the University of California, Berkeley. For this project, he has reviewed over 150 scientific studies that explore the positive effect of nature on humans. We also asked over 7,500 people in six countries to tell us how they were feeling before and after watching Planet Earth 2 clips. This data showed significant increases in joy, contentment, curiosity, awe, amazement, and wonder, and clear reductions in tiredness and low energy. It even reduced stress, especially among younger viewers. These findings revealed that wildlife programs can cause viewers to experience positive emotions.
My study of human happiness has revealed that these emotions, amazement, wonder, and awe, are the foundations of a powerful form of real human happiness. Real happiness is a deeper, less transient form of happiness that can positively affect our health and well-being.
So by simply watching incredible footage of our natural world, you too can experience these uplifting emotions, helping you to be more connected with this amazing place we call home.
My little five-month-old had her eyes glued to the screen during that.
Oh, I love it. You know, the reality is even children, I mean, you put them in front to watch. My kids will sit and watch. Now, some of them are kind of like slower, but you get music and sounds and animals. And I mean, if you look at social media, do you know what the top viewed item is on social media? It's cats. People watching cats. Well, because animals are fascinating, right? So really quickly, I want you to take that quiz again. Like after everything we've talked about and everything we've done, like where does your amazement sit again? What about your wonder? One being low, five being high, your awe, your curiosity. What about your happiness, your energy levels, and your stress levels? You guys, for real, when it comes to the natural world, we just have to utilize it. This is a free gift that we have. Right? It's there. It's around us. And like this video showed, you don't actually have to go outside to utilize nature. So for those like right now, for a long time, like people were staying inside and it was really hard. Put on a show of nature, exercise to nature, listen to the sounds of it, meditate, just be present with it. You can go onto YouTube and find the sounds of all sorts of natural things. But utilizing nature is one of the most profound things that I have found that really, really gave me healing. The second thing is use your five senses. Like your five senses are there for a reason. And if you don't have some of the senses, like those that are blind or are deaf, your other senses are heightened, are lifted higher. Utilize every single one of the senses that you have. Then slow down. Like our bodies are meant to have a sense of slow down. Honestly, if you think about it, when the weather starts getting cool, a lot of people say, oh my gosh, like I feel so sluggish. You guys, we need a type of hibernation, right? Where we slow down and we let our bodies do what they need to be. Like, honor your body, listen to it. If it's tired, figure out why it's tired and honor where you're at with that. And then implement simple steps. You know, I think of like a baby, like Kylie, you've got your little one. When a baby is born, it can't hold its head up. It can't support its own spine and its back. It is just kind of this little entity that is learning and growing. And it takes close to a year for a child on average to go from not being able to do hardly anything to walking. So why as adults do we feel like we have to just like tomorrow, we have to master everything. We have to eat right. We have to move right. We have to, like, you guys, I mean, I'm 38. It took me 38 years to get where I am. When I was really sick, it took 36 years to get where I was. It's, shifts aren't going to happen overnight. And when we try to do it too fast or we don't do it, we don't push ourselves. Like, you do want to push yourself. A child will fall multiple times and get back up and keep going. We all did it. We all went through that process of whether it's talking or walking or whatever it may be, eating even, picking up the food, trying to figure out how it goes in your mouth. But we need to implement simple steps. Take the time to utilize things in a slow and simple process, because that's when it becomes sustainable. Like, our health should be enjoyable and sustainable for the things that we do to increase our health. And if it's not, then something's not working. Then it's not working for you. Because I know for me, when I was really sick and people would say, oh, try this, it works wonders. And it didn't work for me. And I'd feel like, what's wrong with me? Well, it's because that specific activity did not work. Like, go to the gym. I hate the gym. My husband loves the gym. That like makes me stressed out. And I feel so like inadequate watching other people do amazing things that I can't do. Like, I don't like that. It's not motivational. It drives my husband. So I go on a hike. I garden. Like, we have to find what works for us. It's the only way to help our health. And when I was going through my struggles, people would say, eat right. Or they would say, you've got to get up and move. You've got to go outside. Yes, those are all parts of it, but it's a full, complete thing. It's your mind. It's your emotional state. It's what you eat. It's how you move. It's not just one thing that allows for overall health. It's a full, complete package. And we have to realize that.
I like that. So what I'm going to take from this is that whatever resonated with me during our last hour of discussion, that's what I'm going to go implement. If I'm going to go spend 10 minutes eating lunch, I'm going to focus on really slowing down and chewing and thinking about what I'm putting in my mouth and why. Or was it, I'm going to go walk outside barefoot. I mean, it's still, what, 55, 60 degrees out there. So it's still warm enough. But just go to get the leaves and the grass on my feet. Like, whatever it is with you that resonated with you, just start there. That's as simple as you need it to be.
Yep. It's one step at a time, because our bodies are not meant to be stagnant. When we become stagnant, that's when depression, that's when all of these things start sneaking in. Our bodies are meant to move. They're meant to progress. They're meant to go forward. So I love that. I love that takeaway. That's exactly right. Implement something that resonates with you. And once you've mastered it, it becomes a habit. Then you move on to the next thing. So yeah, do you have any questions?
I mean, I love it. I love the fact that ecotherapy, as a mom, you know, I'm just trying to figure out, how do you balance the technology world that we live in today, especially when people are doing everything on computers with school and all that? How do I get places in my yard that my kids can just go experience the nature? He's a 3-year-old boy. He loves mud. He loves dirt. And the dirt right now is underneath the deck, right next to the cement pad. It drives my husband crazy that the cement pad is always filthy, but he hasn't moved the dirt yet, so it hasn't bothered him that much. The second factor was, we have a little, like a 10 by 10 square garden that we made. One of those, you make the wood and you put
the box gardens.
The box gardens. Is that something that we could handle right now with our lives? And that was his favorite place to play, was in the dirt with the other vegetables. And he would take tomatoes off of the vine and throw them, and those became his balls. Like, I drove my husband crazy, but I'm like, he's just exploring. He's just learning. Let him learn. And especially when it comes to food, like, teach your kids, change your mindset with food, and then teach your kids the mindset change.
Yeah. Well, and another thing with the gardening thing that stressed me out at the beginning, because I love gardening, but I'm kind of immaculate with it because I love my garden to be a certain way, right? my kids would pull off green tomatoes and I'm like, it's not ready. What are you doing? But the minute they ate it, they're like, oh, that doesn't taste quite right. So let them understand, like, mom, can I eat the tomato when it's this color? Well, try it. Let them experiment with it, because then it's not this bad thing or this wrong thing or whatever. Like, you're allowing them to experience nature in its true form. And that was something I had to learn, to allow them to, like, the grapes. We have grapevines and they're like, what do these grapes taste like? And I'm like, they're not ready. I'm giving you a forewarning. They're like, they're so bitter. They're sour. I'm like, I told you they're not ready. But again, they experience it and then they know.
Right. Best way to learn is to just experience. Yep,
exactly.
Thank you so much, Jamie. You said you had a podcast out.
I'm getting it. It's in the works. I've got like 3 or 4 episodes and then I'm going to start putting them out. So I'll let you know when that gets officially put out there.
Okay. And then to go learn more, are you on Facebook? Website?
Yes. Yes. So I'm on Facebook. It's Kahatahi with JMI, Jamie, and it's Kahatahi. It's actually Maori for strength together. My mom's from New Zealand. And then Kahatahi, we also have a team of women who are certified in health who have the same like values and ideas. And so we have both those avenues. And then on Instagram, Kahatahi with Jamie, again, it's JMI is also, and it's me with my red hair. You can't really see it. It's fading because I'm not naturally red, but.
Mine is red, but it's fading as well. I always said when my hair red goes, when my hair turns gray, my mom's going to master it and get my red back because I want my red.
Love it.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you are here with us on live on Facebook, let us know. Type live in the comments below. Type replay in the replay below. Or if you are here, replay. Just keep the comment thread going so more and more people can hear this conversation. And then whatever resonated with you, that's where you should step forward. That's where you should take the next leap and just start there. Start with one simple thing. That's all you need to do. So thank you, Jamie, so much for joining us. And
of course.
Can't wait to have you on a future one.
Sounds good. Bye, guys.
As we are winding down season one of the podcast, Beyond the Diagnosis with me, Dr. Kylie, I want to thank you for joining us. I would also ask if you could go in and write a review. I would greatly appreciate it. Let me know what you think, how you started to change your thinking, and be sure to invite a friend. Our next season will begin at the start of January on the first Tuesday. Once again, thanks for joining me, and go write a review. Let me know what you're thinking.